Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. The seven sons of one named Sceva, I guess is the way we pronounce it. Acts chapter 19. I was prompted when I heard some people who claim to be Christian, but yet dabble in spiritual things that are not anchored in the name of Jesus Christ. And we know from this very book, the Apostle Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "There is none other name," speaking of the name of Jesus Christ, "there is none other name given among men under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And then they beheld how the apostles, verse 13, notice, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." This pertains to and is in the middle of a story where in chapter 3 and 4 we see where Peter and John, entering into a place of prayer, were asked and requested by a lame man for money. They said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as what we do have, we will give to you in the name of Jesus Christ," Peter told the man, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And so a notable miracle was done. And the reason why God does miracles is right here in verse 12, Acts 4, "Neither is there salvation in any other," that is, the name of Jesus Christ, "for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So the physical miracle, healing and solving of a malady, a physical malady, opening blind eyes or cleansing lepers, or in this case, raising the dead or raising this guy from a lame state, is all for the purpose of God doing the miracle of regeneration. That's synonymous with being born again in the hearts of men. Amen. And that's why Peter is preaching, led by the Spirit, about Jesus. And he said, "There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Also, we see that Peter and John, the apostles of Christ, they had been with Jesus. These men knew Jesus, and more importantly, they were known of Jesus. And so, being spiritual and talking about even spiritual warfare and the whole armor of God does not mean that you know or are known, more importantly, of God. That does not mean that you're known of God. Lots of false teachers, lots of spiritual people who are not born again. Notice the seven sons of Sceva, beginning at verse 11 of Acts 19, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul," it says, "so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." This is a special miracle. These are special miracles, quote unquote, verse 11, wrought by the hands of the Apostle Paul. You've got a situation here where handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from Paul's body. I guess he touched them, and evil spirits went out of the people. Notice it's a special, these are special miracles. Doesn't mean that God won't do miracles today. Keep in mind, the most important miracle is, once again, the miracle of God saving souls. That's eternal. Healing a physical body, a physical temporal body, is not eternal, but regeneration is eternal. Every soul will spend eternity either with God in glory, heavenly bliss, or in utter, excruciating, conscious, irrevocable, eternal torment in the bowels of eternal damnation, which will be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. Verse 15 says, "Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I would pause here today to ask you, friend, are you going to the lake of fire, or are you going to go to be with Jesus and the Father in eternal glory in heaven, which is spoken of in terms of the New Jerusalem in chapter 21 of Revelation? I wouldn't miss that for the world if I were you, but only you can make that decision to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have all your sins washed away in the blood of a lamb today. Hallelujah. We've got a page on Safeguard Your Soul. It's one of the buttons top left, and it's titled Peace with God. I want to encourage you, if you're not absolutely at least 100% sure that you're going to go to be with Jesus today if you die, I want you to read that, and I want you to turn your life to the Lord. Also, at the top of safeguardyoursoul.com, you'll see a button called Fresh Start with God. Maybe you've known the Lord in the past, and yet today you're not walking with Him as He prescribed, and you would choose to be honest and turn back to the Lord before it's too late. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists." See, these guys were religious, weren't they? They sound like the current spiritualists or the people that talk about spiritual things, but never the name of Jesus. That's who this sounds like. "Then certain," that relates today, in other words, in that fashion. "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches." At least these people use the name of Jesus. And notice, "We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches." "And there were seven sons of Sceva, of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so." So it specifically tells us who these vagabond Jews, exorcists are. And let me just say this at the onset. These guys are playing with fire, to put it lightly. And you'll notice in verse 15, "And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye?" Jesus I know. The devils know Jesus, and they certainly knew Paul also, because Jesus called out Paul and saved Paul, and Paul was one with the Father and the Son. And so these demons knew who they were. Of course, they knew who the Son of God was, but also Paul. But he says here, "The evil spirit said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." So here they are trying to cast the devil. It even says these guys obviously call themselves exorcists. And they were trying to cast out the devil out of this guy. But that didn't work. It backfired, didn't it? Notice, "the man in whom the evil spirit leaped on them and overcame." This is one dude whooping seven guys. That's supernatural. You're going to find very few, if any, situations, no matter how tough a guy is, that he can beat up seven men himself. That has to be supernatural, pretty much, virtually every time. "And overcame them." So this evil spirit leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So the evil spirit stripped them and beat them up. And let's look a little closer here. "The evil spirit beat these seven guys up using," as he is in possession at this point, "of this man who they were trying to cast the devil out." So he used his physical body to beat these seven guys up. And again, that has to be supernatural power. Now, Satan was possessing this man. And how do people get possessed? So the Bible tells us to submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So if we're not submitting ourselves to God on His terms, which begins with repentance, we ourselves are going to be at least under the influence of the devil, who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. We will be, as the term goes, at the mercy of Satan, and yet he has none. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that's your enemy, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Again, James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that's why Paul and Jesus had, while he was on earth, Jesus and the Apostle Paul and every other true disciple of Christ has power over the enemy, because we're submitted to God, which begins with, as I said, repenting and being regenerated. That's what God does. You repent at the conviction of the Holy Spirit that you are a sinner. You have lied. Thou shalt not bear false witness, the law says, Exodus 20. Thou shalt not steal. You have stolen. You have lied. You have coveted. Thou shalt not covet. You have used the name of the Lord your God in vain. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And that's just the beginning of the many sins that we've all committed. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why we have to be regenerated. And God makes us new creatures when we're in Christ. And it's only then that we can claim and walk in the promise. Jesus said that you will tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. But it's a dangerous undertaking, as we see these seven sons of Sceva found out, to use the name of Jesus outside of a relationship with him. And again, let me say this again, on his terms, that is the stated terms he gave us in the word. The Bible says Jesus himself, the very first word that he spoke in his preaching was repent. John the Baptist had already done that. Matthew 3:2, Matthew 4:17. The Apostle Peter said that to repent on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38, etc. Jesus himself said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said that we are to go, and in the Luke 24:47 version of the Great Commission, go and preach repentance and the remission of sins. We are to preach repentance, just like I'm doing now, by giving you scripture on repentance. When someone repents and puts their faith in Christ, all of their sins are remitted, which takes away any and all inroads of Satan and authority of Satan to rule in their lives or to mess with their lives outside of that which God allows. They're submitted to God. They're able to resist the devil, and he has to flee from them. You see, when Jesus was tempted of the devil in Luke chapter 4, he gave him the word of God, and Satan had to flee from him. Now, it does say he only fled for a season, but nevertheless, that battle was won by Christ, because Christ is the Son of God, and he was also submitted to his Father. And when we're submitted to the Lord, the protection of God is over our lives. I love Psalm 91, the whole thing, but notice in verse 1, it says in Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the, notice, dwells, not a one-time thing, but a abiding, perpetual thing. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's never been a day in Earth's history when there was more spiritual warfare, if you will. I define that from Genesis to Revelation only, by the way. The Bible tells us that Satan has come down with great wrath, the accuser of the brethren himself, knowing that he hath but a short time. But the same text says, they overcame him by the blood of a lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Amen. See, they were crucified with Christ. There's the cross right there. They were crucified with Christ. They weren't just using the scriptures for their own self-serving purpose. No, they had a oneness relationship with the God of Scripture, you see. It's one thing to throw around Scripture and talk about spiritual things and even use the name of Jesus, just like the seven sons of Sceva did, but that could be a dangerous affair and undertaking, my friend. These guys got whooped, to put it lightly. They fled out of that house naked and wounded. Verse 17, Acts 19, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, many of them also which used curious arts, that's witchcraft, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So these seven sons of Sceva did as many do today. They use the name of Jesus when it serves their actual personal agenda, yet they're not crucified with Christ. They're not one with Christ on his terms. Notice Luke 21:8, the warning. This is the Matthew 24 sister text. It says this, he said, take heed, Jesus said, that ye be not deceived, for many, not a few, but many shall come in my name. Notice, in my name. They use his name, but watch this, saying, I am Christ, or I think we could say, they say, I am of Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. So notice, they're going to deceive many. Matthew 24:5, many, Jesus said, shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. See, many say they are the Christ or of Christ also, and they're deceiving many. Notice he's saying that many are going to come using or touting his name, taking his name in vain. Taking the name of the Lord your God in vain is not so much, I believe it's Exodus 20 verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What it means is you shall not take his name lightly, and you better have a life that backs up the naming of Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life. That doesn't mean so much using a curse word with the GD nomenclature. We all know what that means. Yes, that's not good, and we should never use that term, and that would fit the description of using the name of the Lord your God in vain. But I think as we look into that, we'll find that using the name of the Lord your God in vain is living inconsistently with what we profess. God doesn't like hypocrisy, and Satan sees right through it, because he is a spirit being, as we know, as are the fallen angels. And he saw right through these seven sons of Sceva who came using the name of Jesus, but they saw right through him. Hey, Jesus, I know, this demon said, and Paul, I know, but who are you, man? Who are you? See, those demons know it when you're of God and when you're not of God. They knew that Jesus and Paul had the power of the Spirit, the power of the name of Jesus, and the holy angels of God encamped round about them. That's what we read in Psalm 34. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. There it is. Those that fear him, obey him. The angel of the Lord encampeth. Gotta love it. Encamp. How many people want the angel of the Lord encamping? Camping out around about them. Notice Psalm 37:4. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. Who does he camp round about? Those that just use his name flippantly? No. Those that fear him and deliver them. Notice there's always conditions in the kingdom of Christ. Always. God requires our engagement in an intimate relationship with him. We never ever need to move off of the fact or allow ourselves in our thinking to be moved off of the essential reality of a relationship with the Lord. A lot of times we go about trying to live the Christian life, but then we become detached from what Jesus said his great desire was. John 17:3, when he's praying to the Father, what did he pray? He said, this is life eternal. This is the whole reason for eternal life, the chief purpose of it, as he communicated with the Father, and it's recorded because God wanted us to know this. This might be the most important Bible verse in the whole Bible. This, it's John 17:3. I want you to memorize it, saints. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou has sent. These seven sons of Sceva knew about Jesus. They knew his name. They saw how Paul had done miracles in the name of Jesus Christ, but they didn't know Jesus. They were unrepentant at this time. They weren't doing things God's way. They weren't submitted to God, weren't able to resist the devil. Otherwise, he would have fled from them because, as we mentioned earlier, Jesus told his own. He said, and it's recorded in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." Those are demons is what that refers to, but also it's a literal thing too, because Jesus told us in Mark 16, verse 15-20, that you will take up serpents and they will not hurt you, right? What is that? Mark 16, I believe it's verse 17. Hallelujah. Let's see. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." See, that's the key. Them that believe, not just mental assent. This is Jesus talking. Greek word for believe is pistis, I believe it is. And it refers to trusting in, clinging to, and relying upon. Not just a mental faith, but a heart faith. The one that's actively worshiping, serving, abiding in and obeying Jesus. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, in the name of Jesus, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." There is power in the name of Jesus for those who are actually in Christ. And none others. Anybody else using the name of Jesus is doing so at their own risk if they're not one with him on his terms. You must be born again. So Jesus says in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." I want to encourage you to also memorize that beautiful verse, friend. Again, that's Luke 10:19. So notice that the word of God grew and prevailed mightily at this event here. And here was the results of those who actually repented. Repentance always brings forth the fruit of good works. When somebody repents, they're a new creature in Christ, and they are a changed individual. If you never had a life-changing experience, a born-again experience with Christ, you're not yet in the kingdom of Christ, my friend. And I want to pray for you and encourage you to seek the Lord and truly to hear his voice. Repent, put your faith in Christ and walk with him. And you're going to be a new creature. See, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things are now new. They're of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. When you're born again, you're a changed person. You no longer live, but Christ. You're a new creature in Christ, and everything in your life is all
in loving Jesus. It's not about your church or your religion. You know, so many people I've met over the years who are really quick to say, "Oh, we just love our church," or "We love our pastor," or both. But they're never heard saying, "We love Jesus Christ." Isn't that a shame? That is a shame. Acts 19, let me read these again. Notice what happened. "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds." Notice, they repented. "Many that believed," that is, after the devil used this one man to beat up seven men who misused or used the name of Jesus outside of knowing him. "And many believed, and they came and confessed and showed their deeds." Repentance always brings forth a confession of your sins and a restitution, just like it did with Zacchaeus. When he repented, he said, "I'll pay back fourfold," I believe it was, "anybody that I've wronged." And there in beginning in Luke 19:1. So these guys believed. They came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious art, brought their books together. In other words, they were operating in witchcraft, which is always associated with books. Harry Potter, the author herself, says these are witchcraft. No such thing as a Christian that has Harry Potter books. Let me just say this. I'm going to say it straight out in an uppercut type fashion. If you've got Harry Potter in your home, or you're letting your children watch witchcraft cartoons, you need to get saved. That's all there is to it. You do not know Jesus, and you wouldn't know him if he stood in your face. Repent now, you vile sinner. You have corrupted and poisoned your own children, and the curse of the Lord is on your life. You need to turn this message off and fall on your face before a holy God and get right, because you're not. So they brought The curious arts probably has to do with not only the books, but the things, all the paraphernalia involved in witchcraft as it does today. It's always accoutrements or things that go along with it, including the books and other devices, and burn them before all. Notice they got rid of. See, if you're repenting today, you're going to unsubscribe from anything that's pumping filth into your children's eyes, ears, and minds and hearts. You're going to burn every piece of physical, any item, any book. This would include the new version, the new fake Bibles, is what I believe. You have a bonfire for Jesus. In fact, we've got a post on the site called Bonfire for Jesus. It's another podcast and written text message from the scriptures. I want to encourage you to put in the word bonfire, one word, B-O-N-F-I-R-E, in the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com and check that out. We've got a spiritual warfare category in the drop-down menu. Lots of good biblical truth there. So they burned all these things that were used in their witchcraft or Satan worship, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. That is a lot of money, especially then. And mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The only way, friends, sin will be forgiven and devils will leave a person as if he will submit to God in true repentance. Again, probably the most powerful, poignant warfare, spiritual warfare verse in the Bible. If you want the devil out of your life, you're going to have to obey God. Notice it, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's a command. Resist or set yourself against the devil and he will flee from you. So when these people that came to repentance that we just read at the end of this passage, Acts 18 through 20, when they submitted themselves to God, they were able to resist the devil. Now they're under the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, not demonic spirit. And so they were able to resist or set themselves against and overcome the devil, and he had to flee from them. See, Satan has no legal right in any life that's submitted to God. Satan only has legal right when we are in sin. We're not submitted to God. You can't be submitted to God and be living in sin. You can pray, friend, till you blue in the face for someone to be delivered, and yet until that individual chooses to truly repent, Satan will rule over them. So preach the word to them. Bring the convicting law of God, as we did a little bit earlier with some of the Ten Commandments, and pray that they will repent, that God will grant repentance to their spirit. All who repent and come to Jesus are delivered. No one who doesn't repent will be brought into Christ and from the devil. So you can't be delivered from the devil until you submit to Christ and you're in Christ. It's only then that you have power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy.
Saints, I'm going to make this a short one. God bless you. I want to encourage you to memorize some of these scriptures. What doesn't matter is if you ever frequent this website or listen to anything from this ministry. That doesn't matter. What matters is that you're right with God, that you're seeking the Lord in prayer and in the Word of God, that His Word becomes your life, that you say with Jeremiah, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. I devoured them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Amen. Another post on safeguardyoursoul.com. If you want to take a look, it's called Devils and Inanimate Objects. Very interesting. Devils and Inanimate Objects. And it goes through some of the witchcraft paraphernalia that we see so prevalent today. And as we've seen throughout history in ancient times, even long before the New Testament period, but also in the book of Joshua, chapter 6 and 7, where one of the guys, his name was Achan, took of the accursed thing, and God was putting the hurt on the whole camp of Israel until that was ridded out of the camp. And we also see that in Acts 19 and in other places where they had things that they used in curious arts, in their witchcraft, included their books, and they burned them. When somebody gets right with God, they want every vestige and trace of the devil out of their life. Otherwise, they didn't truly get born again. God bless you, friends. Thank you for listening. Thank you for praying for the fruitfulness, the oneness, with Christ and the Father and the fruitfulness that comes through an abiding cross relationship to abound in this outreach and the supply. God bless you, friends. Thank you for listening. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.